to the Moana Revival, Cultural Moana Revival this week, which is the last week for the concluding message for the book of Leviticus. So how will us all turn to week this week, and let's read the title together. Anybody who needs a copy, please share with those who are next to you, especially the young people who are here. Can we just make sure that everyone has a copy, or you can sit next to somebody who has a copy?
You can still open in the church site. Church in Piscata, you can still open the message.
Amen. Week 24. Let's just read the title together. Ready? Go. The process showing God His Word and the result of His Word. Praise the Lord for the process trying God. We see that in the previous 2 weeks, there were actually two weeks devoted on the topic of the Jubilee. Amen. But as we come to the conclusion of this book, there is actually a sobering word in the form of the word of warning. As revealed, if you read Leviticus chapter 26 and 27. So the way, you know, the Lord is leading us is that we need to be faithful to His Word and heed the warning. That is that if we do not listen to God's Word, especially as revealed in the chapter, mainly if we worship idols, if we do not keep the Sabbath, or if we do not revere God's sanctuary, it is very likely and it is very possible that we will lose the enjoyment that we have obtained, or that we have the right to through the Jubilee. Amen. So as we close this book, we need to pray to the Lord.
Amen.
For a sobering word, for some kind of shining, and to really be humble before the Lord in all that He will speak to us, so that we will not lose the enjoyment that we have obtained.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And while this is a warning, it's also very encouraging to see that, as revealed in the title, we are being brought back again to the triune God Himself and all that He has accomplished. I think we touched a little bit this morning in the Lord's table. Our triune God has went through a process. And today, He's everything to us. You know, saints, doesn't matter what kind of situation we're in. Doesn't matter what kind of need we have. The triune God has processed, and as the flow today is reaching us in each of our particular situation. So this is the triune God that we have.
Amen.
And in this flow is His work, and is also the result of His work.
Amen.
May the Lord open our eyes to see what the triune God has accomplished in His work.
Amen.
We will go over, there will be more details as we go to the outline, especially on the room number 2.
Amen.
But each of those work that God, the triune God has accomplished and went through, can be our experience today. Amen.
Amen.
How about let's just read through Roman number 1 together. Ready? Go.
Leviticus 26, 1 and 2. Ye see God for not making idols, keeping Jehovah's Sabbaths, and the ordinances He sent you. And ye shall understand and translation and live to these three points. The process of trying God, His work, and the result of His work.
Praise the Lord. We need an understanding. Saints, we know that, you know, maybe some of us who are in the church life for a long time, we have heard and maybe know a lot of the work the triune God has accomplished. But today, may we be humble before the Lord.
Amen.
Saints, we need an understanding of the intrinsic significance. Praise the Lord for intrinsic significance. Meaning not just the works that triune God has accomplished in black and white in terms of knowledge, but in its application to us in our daily life.
Yes.
We need to know His works. And only by knowing His works can we stop ourselves and live by this new life within us.
Amen.
Oh, we need mercy. We need grace. to stop, and to know the true significance of keeping the Sabbath, which is to live by all that God has accomplished. Amen. Sorry, I skipped over room number one about idols, but anyways, let me come back. I just want, regarding Roman number two, we should not have idols. How about let's just do Roman number two together? Just Roman number
two. We should not have idols. This signifies that besides God, we should no longer idols that we are seeking after. So then we cannot lose the position to enjoy our divine inheritance.
So then, this touches our heart, and what is the goal of our lives. I just want to read a portion to you from the life study of Leviticus, message 59, regarding idols. We are in the Jubilee, but if we seek something other than God, we may lose the enjoyment of the Jubilee. Whatever we seek as the goal, as a goal, other than God is an idol. For example, we may pursue a college degree in such a way that it becomes an idol, a goal that we are seeking other than God. This, of course, does not mean we do not need a proper education, but the point is that we should not make a degree a goal that we are seeking other than God Himself. We should have one goal,
Amen.
The unique goal,
Amen.
God as our one aim.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. We know that, you know, in the context of this book, or even in the New Testament, Paul speaks of many things, even the heretical teachings that become a substitute for the true God. But we know that in the church life today, as an application, that means that our goal is God Himself. It's nothing else but to gain God and His person. And to live, not by our own effort, but by the work that He's accomplished.
Amen.
If we truly have God, hold God as our only and unique goal, we will stop ourselves and live by God's work. And live through faith in all that He has accomplished. Right, Kumar? Amen. We're going over the book, The Normal Christian Life. We see that God has accomplished everything in terms of His redemption. But we need to see and live by it. That requires us to exercise our faith.
Amen.
I will just only speak this much. And then lastly, we touched upon Roman number 3. So I will not repeat it again. And I will go now to the very end, Roman number 4. And let's just read Roman 4 together.
We need to reverence God's sanctuary. This is signified that we should regard with reverence all that God is and has accomplished in Christ as God's dwelling, embodiment, and expression, and the church as the acknowledgement of Christ as God's dwelling and eternal manifestation.
Here, we need to reference. Reference here is actually used as a verb. It means that we must have great honor and pay great respect to what God has accomplished. Not just in His work, but specifically in the aspect of producing the enlargement of Christ, which is the church today. So we see that in the church life, we need to pay attention and exercise our spirit to touch and to revere what God has accomplished. Our view of the church life today needs to be under God's shining and under His sovereign hand, so that we know everything that happens in the church life is so the producing of the bride, which you will mention. Saints, God's desire is that He will gain us and He will gain a dwelling place.
Amen.
He will gain His enlargement. To do that, He must gain us as His bride. Individually, but also corporately. He needs to touch every part of our hearts. He needs to transform us. And He needs requires us to open ourselves to Him.
Amen.
For the church life.
Amen.
So that He can gain a bride that matches Him.
Amen.
May the Lord touch us again in
Amen.
All these three matters.
Amen.
Not having idols, O Lord. And then also keeping the Sabbath, living not by own works, but seeing God's work and live by what He has accomplished.
Amen.
And lastly, the Lord will lead us to revere, truly have a heart of respect, paying honor to what He has accomplished for the church. All that we are experiencing today, eventually, in fact, all that God has accomplished through His work is for the producing of this bride, so that He can gain something that will match it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a sobering word and such a conclusion to the book of Leviticus.
Amen.
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 We just like to open up to for the saints to share. And then, we don't have many today, so maybe all of us can share something.
Amen.
We'll start with 2 minutes each. Piano will help us. Amen.
I'd like to read Leviticus 26, or part of it, 1 and 2. It starts off and it says, so we have three parts this morning. They're all from these two verses. So it says, you shall not make for yourselves idols. That's the first part. There it goes on, there's more. Then it says, for I am Jehovah your God. So you shall not make for yourselves idols, for I am Jehovah your God.
Amen.
That's number one. And then, so it points us to God. He is Jehovah, our God. He's the Lord Jesus. Then it says, you shall keep my Sabbath and reference my sanctuary. I am Jehovah.
Amen.
So here, in these three verses, at near the very end of Leviticus, we have these three precious verses talking about three very crucial matters. No idols. Because why? Because I am Jehovah.
Amen.
And I'm your God.
Amen.
And you shall keep my Sabbath.
Amen.
And you shall reverence my sanctuary.
Amen.
So all three are very, very precious. So just in 2 minutes, I just like to touch on the second one, on keeping my Sabbath. So here, this is very subjective. This is very personal. And we don't, so the Lord wants us, it's very easy for us to just go off and do something according in ourselves and according to ourselves. So, but the Lord doesn't, this is not to keep His Sabbath. So He wants us to, He always is working to stop us. He's working to stop us in our being and in our actions and what we do and what we want, and so that we can be terminated in, and then Christ can be everything. He can be our replacement.
Amen.
So this is we can just receive and enjoy all that He is. This is the Sabbath. So He wants us to be. There's the cross. He wants us to be, to experience the cross and be terminated, so that He can be everything in us, and He can be mingled with us, and we can just enjoy all that He's done. So just real quickly, I was very there. If you look at the conclusion of the New Testament, the green books, there are not. Even in here, there are too many points to speak about what the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Spirit. But I just like to mention that if we pray these things in the day, take one point, or even as you're reading the Bible,
Amen.
Just start looking for the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Spirit.
Amen.
And as you touch these verses, you just start to pray them. Then we will receive them and enjoy them and appreciate them very, very much.
Amen.
This will be a good way. This will stop us very much when we touch the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Spirit. That will terminate us. That will stop us as we receive in our prayer and we speak these things. So anyway, praise the Lord. We can be the God's economy is that He wants us to keep His Sabbath.
Amen.
He wants us to know Him in His Trinity, not have any replacements, and so that we just hold Him and pursue Him,
Amen.
And also to reverence His sanctuary.
Watch our time. We don't be too long, and we don't need to really keep the limit of 2 minutes.
Praise the Lord. So, what I really liked is Roman numeral 5. It talks about the reverence of God's sanctuary, and that we should regard with reverence all that God has accomplished. I feel like in the home meeting, this is one thing that has kept on touching upon me, is that we need to appreciate everything that God has already done. And I feel like the lack of appreciation for what God has already done is really the source of many of our problems. We're by not appreciating what God has done, we're becoming stuck in ourselves. We think about our own personal problems, and as we think about our own personal problems, the situation becomes impossible. You know, I'm speaking personally, it's like the situation feels impossible.
Yeah.
When we keep on thinking about ourselves and forget everything that God has accomplished, it's one of those things, like, I feel like, if you think about it, God, He really has accomplished everything, but at the end, and it's like, if I were to use an analogy, God has literally saved us, conquered death, well, this is literally, but like, it's like asking someone to, in our lives, when we're thinking about ourselves, it's like we're asking someone to just give us food for one day, right? But He's already given us food for an eternity, you know? And I don't think many of us has really appreciated it, at least myself personally. And another part that I liked was day 6. And it talks about in 1 Timothy, "And confessedly great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh and justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, and believed on in the world and taken up in glory." And in particular, I love how it's said right here, the church is the house, is also the house of God. And by this, we do not merely mean that the church is the dwelling place of God. We are in the house of God, and this is God's dwelling place, and we are God's family. And I really like that it's saying that the church is not just an assembly. This is something organic. We have God's life.
Amen.
And we have And because of this, we have the organic, we are organic and trained in God. So I just think it's great to appreciate being allowed to be in the house of God, and to also learn to take advantage of the fact that we have God and not to be stuck in ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
My good brother Art just encouraged me to stand up. He said that I can have 30 minutes today.
Amen.
I was so excited. Amen. After all these few weeks passed, we talk about the festival. Then we talk about the Jubilee. And this week it reminds us that the first is 26. It says that you should not make yourself idols, nor should you raise up for yourself a graven image or a pillar, right. Nor should you place a stone figure in your name to bow down to it. I didn't say it. Let me repeat this one, because I separate the wording. Nor should you place a stone figure in your hand to bow down to it. For I am Jehovah, your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jehovah is our God.
Amen.
You should keep my Sabbath. And the reference of reverence of my sanctuary. Amen. I am Jehovah. It's such an encouragement that He is telling us He is Jehovah.
Amen.
And after all this, He tells us the festival, He tells us this Jubilee, He's warning us that not to make any idol. In my life, I know we should not make any idol, but actually we secretly build our own idol, our bank account number, right? Secretly, in the company, we want to grab the higher title. We know all the big shots screw up people's lives, but we want to be there so we can have better life. While I have better life, I can screw up, not purposely, other people's life. This is me, all right? We are making our own title for a lot of stuff. There are very interesting things. I heard a lesson. It says that we know we should not gamble, right? We should not have fornication. We should not have this and that. But we have really obeyed that. We have really obeyed. We try. At least we try very hard. We obey that. But when God say that rejoice, always rejoice. But that kind of comment, we don't remember that. That is, we should obey that. God said you should be rejoiced for this, for that. But no, we don't want that. We, our life have all kinds of anxiety. Our life have all kinds of worry. We worry about everything. Worry about career, tomorrow's life, our kids, our wife, our spouse, ourselves. We worry so many stuff. So what I'm trying to say in here, I have no idea what I'm trying to say in here. But God tell me that do not build the idol. And not only this physical idol that you make a stone. If you, most of you is not Asian people or never go to Asian country, you will see, if you go there, you will see what they try to say here. It's all over the place. All over the place. Here, maybe it's better. Maybe not the physical. Maybe not. But in ourselves, our heart, we build up something to replace God. Any idol is we try to replace God. So, I really appreciate that here, after Jubilee, it says that, it tells us that what needs to be very careful. Right after that, say, what needs to be careful. Then 26, it says that after he warning us not to build idols, but also we need to keep the Sabbath. Many of times, Sabbath, I was like, oh, God, do I have to come to church? I have a lot of work. A lot of time, I even don't come to church on Sunday because I'd rather stay home, do the work. I waste so much time the weekday. But Sunday, I say, no, I'm going to steal the time from God. I'm going to work for the company. But in here, it tells us, and we read the 26, it tells us that right after this, it tells us one thing, three things. One, if you obey to what he said. Second one, if you don't obey what he said, he will chase you. He will chase you seven times something. I forgot the word. Seven times something. He will chase you. Then the third one, he said that if you are under capture, you can repent. You can always go back to him. So that's why I appreciate. Why is the next one? One more. Two more actually. Now on the day four, he starts to tell us what God has been done for us. He lists out so many items. Right? Then he says what Lord did for us. Then he says what Spirit did for us. Many, many of times I try to understand this. I try to remind myself that why I have to worry. Why I worry for everything. Right? I'm going to lose job. Oh, company is going to merge. Company is going to lay off people. Company is going to have restructure. I changed job many times. There's brother, sister, even laugh at me. Are you still in your company? Every time you see me, are you still in your company? That's how often I change my job. Every company merge, move away. Right? They fire you for no reason because you are like me because I'm so handsome. They don't like me. They let me go. When I speak, I have an accent. It's so cute. They don't like it. Maybe I, who knows? Right? They have all kinds of reasons. So when we do this one, we start to worry. We start to worry for everything. It's tiny, teeny thing. Why he talk to me in this way? Why today I have that meeting? Why he give me hard time? Why he say this and that? We worry, right? We cannot sleep at night. But in here, we come back to see what God has been done for us. Amen. Right? He has a plan, amen, at the very beginning. And he know who you are. And he will select you. When time is coming, right? He sent his son to accomplish everything. To go through all those kind of things. Just want to save us. So we should not. In one hand, I know I should not worry about what is going to happen tomorrow. They say maybe 90% of what you worry never happen. The other 10%, if it happens, it's not under your control. Not much you can do. And it may not be the bad thing. After all these years, you went back and turn around, look what happened to my life. Why I changed this job from design to manufacturing to engineering to vegetation to project management to becoming like handle everything, a lot of things. Oh, in that process, it seems I'm suffering. But when I look back, it's all God's holding me. I learned this, I learned that, I learned this, I learned that I can do this, I can do that. That is God helping me. But in the process, I was complaining, God, why you want to do this to me again? You know, why? I thought I just update my resume. I have to update it again? I have to do this, something I'm not familiar with. Something I'm not comfortable. I don't like to speak a lot in front of other people. Except if they use Chinese, and I'm pretty good on that. Then I don't like that. I don't like to write it. My grammar, English, I think is really tough for me to write. Right? Forget about not just email, but also all those documentation. Why you want me to write? I'm good at design stuff. But now God has a purpose for you, but we just don't understand. So in here, it really says one thing that no matter what, if you are worried about your life, if you are worried about your job, if you are worried about your career, your kids, if you have certain anxiety, you either cannot sleep at night. Think about what God has been done for us. And I really appreciate that. It really shows every, I think it's much more than this, but every item, 3 pages, it shows in here what God has been done for us. Amen. He loved us. Amen. Why? Because He is Jehovah our God.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot, so I really enjoy. There was a blind man, Brother Ron mentioned that there was this Bartimaeus, I think is his name, and he asked, you know, what do you want me to do for you? And he said that I should receive my sight, right? So I really, considered that, you know, that we need to ask the Lord to give us back our sight, because many of us, we're blind as to the things of God. And so the Lord would, you know, hear the three points, right? That the triune God, the word of God, and reverencing His sanctuary, is that, you know, we know that there in the psalmist, you know, he was stumbled because he saw all the heathen people, you know, worldly people, they were having success. But, you know, all the people of God he saw were suffering until he came into the sanctuary. And then he received the light, and he knew their end. That what we need is to come back to the Lord to be our goal. You know, not having idols means that only God, that God is our unique goal.
Amen.
That, you know, many times we seek the things of God, but we do not seek God himself. And that's, so actually seeking the things of God is an idol. That's an idol, because all these good things of God. But when we look at all the things, you know, it separates here, right? The work of God, the work of Christ, and the work of the Spirit. You know, when in the work of God, the first thing of the Father is he chose the believers before the foundation of the world. You know, all the way. You know, even to cause all things to work together for good. You know, in Romans 8:28, which is answered in Romans 8:29, which is to be, the good things are to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Amen.
So that is what we're here seeking God, so that He can make all these things work, so that we can become Christ, you know, in life and nature, to be conformed. And to bring us into glory. And the work of Christ starts with bringing God into man and bringing man to God. Amen. And all the way to, you know, I really enjoy this, that as the ruler of the kings of the earth, okay, you know, he, you know, the whole world, that the gospel, he's ruling the whole world, that the gospel may spread and the church may be produced.
Amen.
And I enjoy this paragraph. He said, you know, we may hear many things in the news about negotiations amongst leaders, but the fact is that our Lord Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the ruler and the king over every world leader, and he will, in response to our prayers, exercise his lordship. In this way, I believe that he will open up countries like North Korea so that the Jubilee can be trumpeted there. Amen. So we see that we need to believe and we need to see, you know, especially now after all these elections, every time there's an election, everybody goes crazy and we're all ourselves get entangled, you know, we get entangled in all of that nonsense. Because we need to believe that the Lord is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he really is going to set up the leaders according to, you know, to bring in his kingdom. And so we need to ask the Lord to give us our sight again. You know, so that we don't get caught up in all of this, you know, worldly, you know, stuff. And then the work of the Spirit is convicting the world, you know. You know, he's flowing, sanctifying us. You know, so many, there's just so many things I can't eliminate, you know, all. But eventually, speaking to the churches. He's speaking to the churches. Here in the church is the tent of meeting. Here is where we receive God speaking. Even I went to a meeting Thursday night, you know, to take someone, you know, in New Brunswick. Oh, I just received such rich speaking. You know, about the apostles. You know, they were considered the scum of the earth. They, you know, and so how could they continue? Because their enjoyment of the Lord was so great. Amen. They had such enjoyment of Christ. It didn't matter who considered them the scum of the earth or whatever it was, because their enjoyment went over and beyond anything that anybody could say. Their goal was Christ. They didn't care about anything other. Their goal was Christ. And that really spoke to me. And I thought, you know, this is, you know, the Lord speaking to me in this meeting. You know, wherever you go, the Lord is speaking. Reverencing the sanctuary is really hearing God speaking with God's people. And, you know, in the tent of meeting to become the body of Christ. There is really, you know, so much, you know, that our brother Ron, you know, he poured himself out in this message that he desired. You know, we live for this. He lives for this. And he wants to be the first fruit. You know, the first fruits of, you know, if you're alive and the Lord comes, you'll be caught up. You'll be raptured in the air. You know, if you're dead and you're an overcomer, you'll be the man child. But if you're still living and you're an overcomer, you'll be the first fruit. You know, that he desired to be the first fruit. And I said, I want this to be my longing. You know, this is his longing. And, you know, he says, I live for this. This is why I live. This is why we're here. And I said, wow. Oh, you know, can I really say that this is why I live? I can say no. Oh, but sometimes, you know, so I enjoy the prayer, you know, Bartimaeus, Lord, restore my sight.
Amen.
Bring back my sight.
Amen.
That I can see in the heavenly realm.
Amen.
So that I can take you as my goal, reverence the sanctuary. I can see the work of God, of the Father, the work of Christ, the work of the Spirit.
Amen.
All of this, you know, so that God can bring in the kingdom. Oh my goodness, if I could be the first fruit, I'm going to aspire that like Brother Ron. But, oh Lord Jesus, I don't know about that, but oh Lord, may we just, you know, pray to the Lord that he would be, Lord, be my goal. Bring me out of all of this nonsense that I'm in. Lord, I need to see you, Lord.
Amen.
Sister Virginia's testimony, because I really am very impressed and really touched by this point, is it's day one. If today's reading, it says we are in the Jubilee. But if we seek something other than God, we may lose the enjoyment of the journey. Amen. Whatever we seek as a goal other than God is an idol. We should have one goal, a unique goal, God as our one aim.
Amen.
You know, Jubilee is really, we, as soon as we lose God as our possession, we get enslaved. So, Jubilee is gaining God back as our possession,
Amen.
You know, as ours. But the minute we lose Him, for whatever reason, ambition, whatever, goals, you know, like I, you know, brother shared there, I fully appreciate that, because I have in the same situation, that you lose God. And when you lose God, you get enslaved. You know, you are going for a PhD, you make that your goal, and not God as your goal, you will be enslaved by Satan. Satan is very subtle. And then it goes on to say the next paragraph, in 1 John 5:22, John goes on to conclude, little children, guard yourself from idols.
Amen.
The word guard means to garrison ourselves against attacks from without, like the assaults of the heresies. And then it goes on to say, idols refer to heretical teachings, but it also refers, it says, idols here also refer to anything that replaces the real God.
Amen.
We, as genuine children of the genuine God, should be on the alert to guard ourselves from these heretical substitutes and all vain replacements of our genuine and real God, with whom we are organically one and who is eternal life to us. This is the aged apostle's word of warning to all his little children as a conclusion of his epistle, which is the epistle of the book of John. And since, you know, because this, you know, I really, really appreciate the ministry. You know, thank the Lord that we are in the ministry. We can hear the ministry. We have access to the ministry. Because Satan is so subtle. It's not just the tree of knowledge of evil. It is also the tree of knowledge of good. All the good things, your good virtues, your patience, your good kindness, your good love towards your children, towards your husband, towards your colleague, whatever. If the source is wrong, it's not from God, then that is not growing the tree of life. You know, this is Satan, so subtle. Thank the Lord for the ministry. You know, this ministry, I can't thank you enough, because, you know, like I shared, every time I come back from Shanghai, I quickly start listening to lsmradio.com. Every day there is a broadcast, and you hear something from Brother Lee, a witness Lee shares, and then you hear Ron Kangas, Ed Marks, you know, they share. It's just, it's so wonderful. I'm so freed. Every day I feel, I just feel being brought back to God. Amen. Because Satan, very so subtle. Even the good things, so subtle. Even loving God, if it's from the wrong source, you're taking from the wrong tree. You know? Amen, saints.
Amen.
How about we
listen
to 3 minutes?
Okay. Sorry. 3 minutes.
I'm very glad that this week is the conclusion week about Leviticus. The title is The Process Trying God, His Work, and the Result of His Work. So I think that this week it reminds again that, you know, God really wants to get a group of people, you know, for His purpose. And I was impressed by one of the sentences in the message. It says that, well, of course we know that God has gone through the process, right? He died for us, for our sins, right? But then also, we need to go through a process. Somewhere it says we have to fire ourselves. I think for all of us, we are afraid of that word. We want to fire ourselves. But then I think that it cites Isaiah 40:29-31. It says that we are waiting on Jehovah. So for those who wait on Jehovah means that we stop our doing. You know, I don't know about every one of us. How about young people? Have you, you know, seen your parents driving and it's a full stop sign and your parents think that they fully stop? How many of you think that actually they did not full stop? I think that Megan always remind me and say, Mom, that is not a full stop, please. You know, for those of us, we are very straightforward and we just want to do things, you know. It's really not easy for us to full stop. But then I think that, you know, it's actually a training process. It's a lifelong process that the Lord wants to show us that, you know, yes, we can do a lot of things, but then we really need to give the Lord space, give the Lord a chance, give the Lord opportunities to work in us. So Sister Virginia mentioned about election, you know, sometimes we are so occupied by it. But I think that actually, you know, God is the best candidate. You know, actually for everything that we do, we always have a candidate there, you know, saying, listen to me, you know, choose me. I'm the best candidate. But unfortunately, you know, we always think that the other things are better. So, and I think that, you know, in the church life, also the same thing. The result of God's work is to express Him. But I think that usually we think that, you know, the Lord would just care about big things, not small things. But then, like yesterday, you know, for young people, the reading is on proper dress. I think that even for the small thing, and then I told young people, you know, every day you wake up, do you think about, oh, Lord, do you ask the Lord, what I should wear today? Do we contact with the Lord even with small things? I think that if we don't contact the Lord with the small things, we will not listen to Him for big things. So I think this is an encouragement for us. You know, we are here as a family. We are here. We learn about the Lord together, and we experience Him together. And hopefully we can express Him as a corporate group.
So Leviticus 26:1 says, "You shall not make for yourselves idols." And as was mentioned by some already, you know, to have idols means that, you know, we have another goal besides God. Right, so our only goal needs to be God. Right? So if we're seeking after any other thing, that thing is an idol. So the only thing that we should be seeking after is God. I think recently I've been realizing that it's so easy to seek after something else. Just like during your day, you know, anything else you enjoy doing or any other goal that you had, you know, in just like a second, you know, you might have been reading the Bible. After you read the Bible, you know, then it's really easy to start doing some other things, right? And then forget about the Lord. And I think in those moments, you know, you just realize, wow. Like afterwards, you just realize, wow, I've like lost the enjoyment. You know, I've lost the enjoyment of the Lord. Actually, you know, I've been, you know, as Sister Edwin said, you know, I've been, like you're enslaved. You know, you're enslaved by whatever thing you're being occupied with. And at the moment, it may not seem like it, but afterwards, you know, you just feel very empty. You realize, you know, that thing, you know, didn't give me rest. You know, that thing didn't give me a true enjoyment. And so, I really appreciate this matter of, you know, God being processed and consummated. Right? So He went through a process, right? And so this process, right, includes we becoming a, you know, his incarnation, becoming a man, when he went through human living, he died on the cross for us, you know, and then he became, you know, life-giving spirit, right? And this spirit, right, is the consummation, right? That means this process has been completed, right? And so before, in you see in John chapter 7, verse 39, right, the spirit was not yet, right? Because Jesus had not yet been glorified, right? So at that point, you know, man cannot enjoy God the way we can enjoy Him, right? In the Old Testament, you know, God was, you know, like God was not inside of us, right? God was not inside man. God was just, you know, there, you know? And then, you know, when Jesus came, you know, people could, you know, maybe they could physically touch Him, but He wasn't inside of them, right? So if you're not in the same geographical location as Jesus, you know, you can't enjoy His presence, right? And so that's why at that point, you know, it says, you know, the Spirit was not yet, right? Because Jesus had not, you know, He had not yet died and He had not yet resurrected. But then, now that, you know, He has gone through this whole process, now that, you know, the triune God has been consummated, that means this process is completed, right? And so that means we can enjoy God at any moment, right? And this is, I don't know, I just appreciate that He went through this process, and yet it's so easy for us to forget about this, you know, and just go and do our own things. And, you know, actually all these different things that we seek after, you know, many times, like, I think I realized that at the end of the day, like, that thing doesn't really do much for me. Because, like, I really enjoy sports, and it's like, every single time, you know, maybe your team wins, you know, today. But then it's like, in a couple days, you know, they lose, and just like a disappointment. You know, it's like, so no matter what, you know, only one, at the end of the year, you know, only one team can win. You know, so it's like, no matter what, it like, it just ends up being a disappointment. And you realize you just wasted so much time, and you wasted so much time to opportunity that you could have enjoyed the Lord, right? And so, in Galatians 3:14, right, it says that, you know, this, you know, the promise, it says, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Right, so now this, we have this promise, right? This promise, it's already fulfilled. Right, so now we have the Spirit. He's gone through everything, and so, you know, during our day, you know, although it's easy for us to, you know, turn away from the Lord and turn to seek after other things, it's also very easy for us to turn back, right? So during the day, you know, when we realize that we're seeking after something else, we need to take the opportunity, you know, to turn back to the Lord and to enjoy the Lord again.
Amen.
The speaking brother, when he spoke on this message, at the beginning he mentioned this, you know, in our natural concept, we will think the book of Leviticus should end at chapter 25, that talking about Jubilee. Right. But from the divine perspective, from the Lord, it is not the case. You know, this chapter 26. Is actually this chapter 26 is a word of warning. I don't know how, brothers and sisters, this past week when you were entering into this message, what is your feeling about this? To me, I really feel this very, very strong warning word to us, especially I think it's to me. You know, in book Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1 and 2, we see these three things, right? One is we we should not have idols. We should not make idols for ourselves. And we should keep the Sabbaths, right? And we also need to reverence God's sanctuary. And otherwise, we see from verse 3 to 13, the Lord actually saying if we keep his statutes, he's ready for us to ready to give us so many blessings. But when I check myself, my experience, and even check, you know, our church life, I realize I'm short of the blessing from the Lord. Today, the Lord is this process trying God. All the riches is in this spirit. And supposedly, we have been brought into the Jubilee, and our experience should be this, you know, wonderful liberty Jubilee, right? But my experience at least is not. So I ask myself and I ask the Lord, what happened to me? But obviously the answer is there, because we don't really be obedient. And we didn't keep these three warnings the Lord spoke to us. You know, we have idols. Right? We have different kind of goals besides the Lord. As Eric just shared, what he shared just exactly what I was thinking this week. The Lord reminded me so many times, you know, your mind just captured by something else.
Right.
You can say yourself, you can say, you are my only goal. Yeah. We can say, God is your my only goal. But in reality, if you look at you know, 24 hours, what percentage of your mind are focused on? Maybe we just have very small percentage, our mind, our heart is on the Lord. And actually, we have a lot of other goals, and that really attracts us. And also, the second is the Sabbath, right? As Sister Ping mentioned, in the church life, we always trying to do our things by ourselves. We never really wait on the Lord. We think we can do this, we can do that. Even we can improve ourselves to be overcomer. We never really know how to turn to the Lord to enjoy whatever thing he has accomplished to us. Our natural man is so strong in our daily living, even in our service. And the third thing is whether we really reverence his sanctuary. This church is the house of living God. This phrase also occupied me a lot this week. If we ourselves cannot be the dwelling place of the living God, how the church can be the household of the living God. When we come together, we don't leave Christ, we still leave ourselves. Can we see a manifestation of the living God? I don't think so, right? Everyone, we know. And when we come together, we think we can say we are the church. But if we don't have this reverence, I think not only just saying we need to respect when we come to the meeting, we need to, you know, be so fearful, so humble. I think that reverence is whether we really know our God right now is the process trying God. You know, we need to be the manifestation of this living God. When we come together, or even when we are at home by ourselves, whether we have this reverence is whether we can lead this Christ. Without these three things, we want to enjoy the Lord be everything to us. That's just a doctrine. It's not just, you know, we can so-called enjoy this kind of message week by week, day by day. But when we check our experience, you know, as I check my experience, I really feel we are short of this experience. That's really, hopefully this really be a warming word to us. You know, that doesn't mean we want to, you know, again, we want to try our best to be good. The only thing we can do is really turn to this process trying God. Turn to our spirit. You know, whenever we forget, we drift away, we enslaved, right? We become lost,
right.
You know? We just remember our God is the process trying God. He had already accomplished everything.
Right.
We just turn back to Him, enjoy Him, and then we will be able to really receive all the blessing He's ready for us.
Amen.
We need to be constituted as the obedient one who really can receive His blessings. Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament, nearly one third of the God's word concerning the warning. Nearly every book has warning. I believe when the people of Israel, they came chapter Leviticus chapter 25, they were saying, wonderful. God is my jubilee, and that should be ended. But God's sovereignty is not. Right after the excitement of the jubilee, came with warning. Brother and sister, today, if we cannot receive the word of warning, we will fall into the obsession and self-deceiving that we think that we are in jubilee. Concerning should not have idol, concerning that we shall have real Sabbath, literally, we may think we understand what it means. But actually not.
Amen.
And then concerning the reverence of sanctuary, it's even deeper. This phrase, reverence, means deep respect from someone for something. We know what sanctuary means. Sanctuary is Christ, even the enlargement of Christ, which is church today. What does it mean? The reverencing of sanctuary. That means we, as part of the church, we should respect even more deep respect, which will issue in divine fear. Today, if you read the Old Testament, you see the so pitiful situation in people of Israel. Why? They are lacking of fear. Book after book, the 12 books of the Old Testament history book. It is the terrible history, the failure of people of Israel. Why? What is the root of the cause? The people of Israel failed to such extent, they eventually got captured. No fear. brother and sister in principle, in the same principle, in the church life. You and I should have some divine being. They are not just God in the church. It's in the sanctuary. We, not merely the priest, we also are the member in the sanctuary. Then you should know how to conduct yourself. Yes, no one will tell you what to do. But is that the way you do? No one will surely not tell you where you should go to meet. But if you have the deep respect, you dare not to take it so lightly. You may say, I have freedom. I am free in Christ. Yes, but don't forget, there are so many places in the Old Testament, particularly Numbers 18. It says, the iniquity of sanctuary will come upon us who are the priests today. In other words, when you are saved, I'm saved. We are the priests. And you and I will have to carry all the iniquity of sanctuary. Do you have that sense? Today, there are many young ones, not around us. Most of us, we have been in the church life many years. Brother and sister, I would like to ask you, do you and I have that kind of fear? If we do not, then what are we doing here for? It's just like a child is playing fire. Yes, our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
When we are in the church life, there are many serving groups, service. You have been assigned, or I have been rendered into different kind of service group. That is part of the sanctuary. And you may say, I have freedom, I want to come, I come. I have freedom, I don't want to come, I don't want to come. Am I right? No, that's not right. You lose the freedom. When time to pray, you need to come to pray. You say, I don't feel like it today. I don't want to come. That is not reverencing to the sanctuary. And what would you think that God will respond? Brother and sister, what would you think? What will come upon the people of Israel? We cannot just jumping and shouting that we enjoy Christ. That is not enough. Sometimes when we look at a young one, we are happy, we're joyful, but deep within us, we have some worry. Right, the older one? Why you worry? Because you saw something. They didn't see it. That's why it comes with the word of warning. May the Lord bless us.
Amen.
And may the Lord have deep mercy with us, that we will not merely continue in this way, week after week this way. we all need to repent.
Amen.
In a sense, for ourselves, in a sense, for the sanctuary.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us.
Amen.
Can we sing the hymn? The brother Ron Kangas to pick up during this message. 350.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Oh,
Yes, Lord, we love you.
Amen.
God, be with us every day this week.
Amen.
God, express yourself within us.
Amen.
Enliven us.
Amen.
And let us respect and fear you.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your sanctuary.
Amen.
Lord, where you in dwelling place now.
Amen.
Lord, you be glorified in your church.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, God, in this week, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, make us an army. Make us an army to fight against the enemy, Lord.
Amen.
You have defeated the enemy already.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have accomplished.
Amen.
The work is done, Lord.
Amen.
I forgot to do it last week.
Oh.
Sorry. Last week is